It's the guts and it's the glory. 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue.
Hey guys, and welcome to a special edition of the Get Home Safe podcast. It is 4th of July weekend, and I am down here in Orange County. I won't give the exact location, but I'm down here in the bunker of my one and only brother, Sam Hersema. What's going on, brother?
Welcome to my humble abode, man.
You got that right.
You can say where it is. We're in Westminster. You saw all the drivers coming out here.
Oh, my goodness. You know what, guys? I am done driving in Westminster. That is for sure. It was quite the journey out here. People love to go under the speed limit out here. You know what? People don't move fast, and there's a lot of red lights. And I just want people to understand the lengths I went to come out here to you, to see you, to bring the show to you. I mean, I don't need a medal, but I'm just saying.
When we signed the contract, that was very clear. I'm not traveling anymore.
Sam is absolutely right about that. And I don't think you were traveling much before then. You were just doing the Zoom stuff. But it's about time I came down here to your neck of the woods so that the podcast does get on the road. The show is on the road, or however you want to say it.
Heck yeah, man. I'm glad to have you here. Welcome. You can see my confines, just four walls, and that's about it.
You got a Tony Soprano painting up here. We have a bow behind you. This is for those not watching on YouTube. We have a complaint department, pick a number, grenade, which was a gift for me, I believe.
Yes, it was.
This is some hard living here, Sam. Love it.
It's pretty great, actually. And then you've got a little extra in the back over there. We won't go into detail on that. Yeah.
Basically the end of the world. I mean, this is the rallying point, really, I think, for bomb shelter. California's going to implode eventually anyway, so I know this address, and I know that I can come here and we'll be able to last a few days of this.
Yeah, come on over. I'll let you in if you're a Republican.
Well said. Yeah. Cheers to that. Cheers, hey, man. It is 4th of July weekend. It's July 2nd as we record this. 4th of July is Tuesday, also known as Independence Day. I would say happy holidays to those that maybe don't celebrate it, but if you don't celebrate Independence Day, screw you. We do celebrate Independence Day each and every year. So, Sam, I mean, right off the bat, I mean, it's always a fun time of year, middle of the summer, really. 4th of July, Independence Day. I mean, what are your early thoughts on the great holiday, the birth of our nation?
Great weekend. I did listen to your podcast with BJ. Man, that was – what a man. Mm. What a guy on the Charge to Keep podcast. Check that one out too.
Yeah. The Navy SEAL, BJ Jacobs, Benjamin Jacobs came on, and a great addition to that podcast. And we have a lot of the similar guests here similar audience, I will say, who listen to the Get Home Safe and the Charge to Keep. But that was just an honor to talk with a guy that was so humble, Sam. This is a Navy SEAL who's made multiple deployments, probably did all kinds of things that we couldn't even discuss, and was just the nicest guy and a guy that you're just like, wow. It was super inspiring. And to your point, I think people definitely need to check out that podcast. It'll lift you up big time.
Definitely. Anytime you have a guest from anybody from RHP, like it's great stories. It's great. It's great morals. It's great everything. Just check it out. You get a little football in there too. So why not? Right.
I remember watching BJ when I was in junior high. You may be a little too young, but.
No, I remember.
Just a team guy, team guy, kind of summed up Rio. And it was cool to hear on the 4th of July weekend the story of the Navy SEAL, because we love these guys. We love all the members of the military. We know Manny. I know Coach Lee was a big, Coach Bill Lee was a big influence on your life, a teammate of mine. Manny Bajorquez served in the military. I mean, our grandfather fought in World War II. And I don't know if you ever think about this, Sam. I have every time I look at his photo, I'm like, you know, had he not made it back, You wouldn't have had any kids, meaning we wouldn't have had, you know, we wouldn't have existed. So it's a crazy thing to think about.
World would have been a better place. And Uncle Vietnam too.
Uncle Philip in Vietnam. Yeah, other members of our military on our dad's side. You know, the uncles from my dad specifically who fought in World War II, and just you and I never had the privilege to serve, but I know you and I both have mad respect for those that have.
Definitely. Yeah, I think I want to say great uncle Dick on dad's side. I'd have to confirm with dad, but I believe it was him, and he had a great story. Very heartbreaking. It'll leave you in tears, but yeah, I'll confirm with dad about that.
Well, what you need to understand about members of the military, especially the World War II guys, is they did things because it was their duty. And a lot of times, you know, they were making tough decisions, we'll say. But that's, to me, what the lasting impact is of all the veterans. It's not just what you go through. It's living the rest of your life remembering either losing people or having to make tough decisions out there. That, to me, is where when we honor veterans for Veterans Day, you know, whenever, 4th of July, that's really what we're saying thank you for. It's not just what you did, but living with these things the rest of your life. Because we've all gone through things that are hard, but I don't think anything quite like what those guys have all gone through.
No, not even close. It's something that I can never say thank you enough for. And I really appreciate it day to day. And it's not just about today. It's about every day. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. You're a guy I was surprised never went into the military, because I think at one point you were kind of thinking about it. You know, you really got in great shape, and you were, I think it probably would have fit you really well. Like, military, you seem like a military type of guy, knowing you always did.
I thought about it. As we've talked about on previous podcasts, I tried to do a CHP, and I also tried to do a ZINSA PD. You know, I didn't quite get through, but, you know, I never went back to it. I got comfortable in my little cushy corporate job, and it is what it is, right?
Yeah, mad respect for the military from the Herschel brothers, and especially 4th of July weekend. For those not watching on YouTube, I got my back-to-back World War II, back-to-back World War champs hat on. Sam has his t-shirt. I think I got him this. If my opinions offend you, ? You should hear what I keep to myself. I think there's a lot of truth to that in you.
Yeah, for about 10% of what I actually speak, I keep 90 to myself.
So you're saying there's worse things than come out of your mouth.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's
when mind reading comes around in the future, which it's coming, man, 20, 30 years, that's going to be coming, telekinesis or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I lose track.
Yeah, when that comes around in the human world, especially with this AI crap happening right now, you're going to hear some pretty bad things from me. I'm probably going to be banned from life.
I agree. You definitely not be banned from the podcast. We'll probably have you on more often than not.
From prison.
I've told you the podcast is going on the road. We'll see where it goes. It's just been me for a while, but we bring on Sam, my brother Sam here, and Bill Barnes sometimes. We bring on guests randomly. So it's fun to have just a conversation. You and I, when we're talking on the phone or whatever, like, you know, we need to do a podcast soon. And I think it honestly was the last time we did it. It may have been last year, Father's Day in June.
That was last year. Yeah.
Wow. It's been a full year since we've had Sam on. So happy to have him here. What are your thoughts, Sam, about the 4th of July as kids? Like, what are some memories you have? It could have been on a summer trip. It could have been with mom and dad. I remember going to Don and Ruth's house on our mom's side, making s'mores out there. Sometimes, dad, you know, we'd go watch the Citrus College fireworks, of course, from not up close, but far away. Dad had a strategic place where we parked and watched out of the truck. Those are some of the memories I have of 4th of July, Independence Day. What are some of yours?
I think we parked near Mike's Pizza. Was that right? Off of that street?
That sounds right, yeah.
Off of, what's that called? Dawson? I think next to that Glen Oak Golf Course.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one of our locations.
Couldn't get too close because there's a lot of people here.
Yeah, you can't deal with the traffic. We're going to drive a mile to go see fireworks from 5 miles away.
Yeah. Dad had a system and a place that was not going to let, yeah, I don't know.
But I think my favorite 4th of July, I remember like we got with, I think one of mom's coworkers, we went on to their place one day and it was a bunch of fireworks, and Dad had his way of making,
oh yeah,
shall I say, legal fireworks. not quite legal.
We were in Azusa.
Yeah.
Because it's like one of the only cities in the area where you can shoot fireworks off. And yeah, it's so funny. You cross the street and it's just chaos. All the stuff's going crazy. That was one of the only times, yeah, that I was around fireworks. Because we wanted everyone to be safe out there, of course. But yeah, Dad had some fun, and we sure did too, yeah, playing around.
Yeah. And I got, come to me if you want to learn how to make some bad decisions with fireworks.
Well, clearly, not just with fireworks. I could say that, you're a pro. And making bad decisions. And here you are back on the podcast, of course.
I've been engaged.
That should be a t-shirt. That should be a t-shirt. That's your name. Oh, that's funny.
But no, I think my favorite 4th of July ever was actually on a summer trip. I think you were, you had just graduated Colonial Williamsburg.
Man.
That was the best freaking fireworks show ever, man.
It was. And we spent the day there touring the Colonial Williamsburg area, all the, the different sites and everything. And then it was a grueling day. It was hot, but at the end of the day, the fireworks came out, and yeah, great show. Massive. And I'm right there with you. That's probably my favorite one of all time as well.
You could feel the fireworks. It was like rumbling the grounds. It was fantastic, man.
Yeah. And you know what, after being in baseball as long as I was, like, fireworks would almost be a weekly thing. And you're just kind of like, okay, another fireworks show, big deal. But I think on the 4th of July, it just feels a little different. It feels a little special. And because you remember, I remember Dad telling us as kids, like, I said, why do we do fireworks on 4th of July? And he took us into the conversation about, it's all about the bombs that were going off and just kind of never forgetting, the rockets, red glare, bombs bursting in air, all that good stuff. There's a reason we do things in America, and some people kind of want to wreck a lot of our traditions and things, but it's nice to know at least once a year we can reflect on the important things, kind of where we come from.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a very special day. It's a very important day, and something that's taken for granted. Unfortunately, we have a whole month dedicated to something else, but I'll let that go. And yeah, didn't you and Dad play taps either one 4th of July or one Memorial Day?
We may have, yeah. Did we do it? We did. Maybe it may have even been 9/11 one time. Like, yeah. We did. I think we busted the trumpets out and played one of those times out on the front yard. So that was special and just good memories indeed. I mean, we all know some people just, it passes you by. It's like, oh, 4th of July, okay, whatever. A barbecue, right? Pool time. But it's like,
no.
You need to think of the people that have done so much for us, and people want to talk about how awful America is in the past and everything. It's like America's past was not unique in the sense of a lot of things that happened here, the ways things were, it was that way everywhere. But what's unique about America is kind of the progress it has made into where it is today, meaning I'm a little biased, but I think America's greatest country that's ever existed and has done more good than bad over the years in the course of its existence. But again, that's one man's humble opinion.
Yeah. I you want to have a conversation about that? We can. You people out there. But I agree with that. It's, there's a lot more good that's been done than bad. It's not the evil country that people will make you think it is.
Well, there's a lot of people lining up to come to this evil country. This country from that's so horrible.
Yeah.
A lot of people lining up. I don't like bad things. I'm not getting in line to participate in bad things personally, but what do I know? I was just fortunate to be born here and just very grateful for that.
We accept everybody. I was really proud last month.
You're going to get us in trouble. What about, this is something that's kind of, related, but not as nearly as serious. 4th of July to me is like a sneaky food holiday. Like, you got some good grub on the 4th of July. Big barbecues, brats, which we did a few weeks ago. I mean, you can't go wrong there. Brats, hot dogs, of course. And then there's usually some type of ice cream or s'mores or something. I think we're celebrating the country the right way by overeating, overindulging. I mean, any thoughts on good food out there?
Anything that involves actually eating an animal, I really believe in that. Brats is good. I've been a big fan of bison meat recently. That's what I've been driving me. You can get it at a Sam's Club for a pretty cheap price for quite a bit of it. But yeah. Any type of food on 4th of July.
Oh, man. It's one of those days where you don't care. Anything goes. It's like Christmas. It's like maybe Easter. It's like Thanksgiving, of course. Certain holidays, you just have, let's go. Yeah. Right, we're doing s'mores. Keep them coming. It's all the good stuff. Talk to me about bison meat. Like, how did you get involved in that? You've had me try it a few times. Really, really good. It's kind of become a staple for you.
Yeah, it's a little gamey, but it's good for you. It's less fats. It's higher in protein. And, you know, I got turned on to, obviously, my Rogan.
You know? By Mr. Joe Rogan. Yeah, he's kind of become your go-to podcast listener every day, huh?
Yeah, go-to. Cause, dude, it's like I've said before, it's like 3 hours, three episodes, 3 hours each episode. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like I don't have time for much more. You know, I don't have time for many more episodes. And then I the bow behind me is like a little shout-out to Cameron Haynes. Like that, that guy's a badass. Runs like 50 miles a day. He's a world-class bow hunter and runs a podcast too. But yeah, like it's bison meat, like they always, but whenever him and Cameron Haynes and Joe Rogan have a conversation, like it's mostly about like hunting and like working hard and like pushing forward. And
yeah.
And so like I.
Motivating.
I love that stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Like I love anything that motivates. So I don't remember most things, but I have a terrible memory. So whenever I see something, I'll send it to myself and watch it over and over again.
It's interesting. Like, so you go through life, right? You go through high school, you're playing sports, you're doing all that stuff. And then, all right, you get into the workforce or maybe you go to college or whatever. And you just, you know, you may be pursuing a family or you know, a lady in your life, whatever. Like you almost lose this motivation in a sense of, at least for me, when I was done playing ball in high school, it's like, well, how are you going to get through all this crazy stuff? So to your point, it's like you need that kind of everyday motivation, whether it's a podcast or maybe it's a calendar, maybe it's a friend of yours that just pushes you. I mean, what have been some of the things in your life that have really kept you motivated? Because quite frankly, the everydayness of life, you know, as some people will say, just gets boring. You need to just repeat. I mean, how do you stay motivated other than some of the podcasts you mentioned?
I'm reading another book, actually.
Nice.
By Cameron Haynes. It's called Endure. It's about push. It's basically just about pushing through. And it's kind of like counterproductive sometimes because you're like sitting there reading the book and you read a chapter and you're just like, okay, I'm ready to go again. Let's go. And I can't do audiobooks because I don't pay as much attention to audiobooks. Yeah. I actually have to read something to engage myself. But yeah, man, it's just been like, stop making excuses lately. But this past year, I've been trying to lose some weight. I've been trying to keep healthy. I'm working on the drinking and the smoking, but those are the only two things that are lingering. and overall, man, it's just been like things that keep me motivated. Like first and foremost, myself. Mm-hmm. I hold myself accountable. I try to make sure that like today before you got here, I went for a 4 mile run on the beach. And when I got back, I pulled some weeds in the back, and then I cleaned up a little bit. I did a little laundry, then I walked to 7-Eleven instead of driving there. Like, you know, it's just like
keep moving.
Those little things. Like I can't, I think we're very similar in this way. Like I can't sit still for long. I'm like a shark. I sit still for too long, I'm dead.
I've lost the ability, I think, to kind of sit still. It's been hard. Like, and it's obviously with a lot of different things kind of going on in my life, but it's just like very, if there's a specific game on, do you want to watch? Okay, cool. Whereas before I was just like, oh, let's find a game. Let's find this. But to me, it's almost like a treat now. All right, this is a big fight on Saturday. We're going to make sure sitting down and watching this. But other than that, like, I mean, sunrise till well after sunset, like it's go time. And we find different motivations at different times of our lives. Sometimes it's a tragedy. Sometimes it's you want something, looking forward to something. And then other times it's just to get out of a rut. So whatever works for you, whatever works for anyone out there, I think it's best to, if you're going to err on the side of constantly moving, constantly working, trying something, reading a new book, getting up early or whatever, because if you sit back and wait, things aren't probably going to come to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is, it's probably something like to talk about on the Charge to Keep podcast, but I'll bring it up now is like, I look back in like in the high school era, like everybody, you guys, you had a good drive in high school. You had a great drive to like to just win, you know, and I wanted the same thing, but I didn't really get my competitive edge until a little bit later in life. I was there.
I agree.
I did what was expected of me, but that was about it. Like later on in life, once I hit 21, 22, like I was just like, okay, I want to be better than everybody. with one of my friends, we would go to the track over in Covina, actually where we played Western Christian, what school was that? Royal Oak.
Royal Oak.
Yeah. And we do the track and I'd look at my buddy and be like, see this guy right here? I'm going to lap him twice when I run. I'm going to make sure that happens. And always make it happen. I always want to be working harder than the next person, you know?
Well, you've someone that really, in your 20s especially, to me, really took off. And that's a big reason where you're at today. People always ask, what does Sam do again? I'm like, honestly, I forget. He's some corporate job. He's some corporate big shot that I forget what his job title is all the time. Pardon me. But I just do, because I've lost track, because you've been climbing the ladder and bouncing around doing all kinds of different things. And you've been that motivated guy that I've lost track of sometimes, because you're just in go mode all the time. And so you're doing great things now in the corporate world, overseeing some things and some people. And I mean, more aspirations going forward for you, or kind of liking what you're doing?
I'm liking what I'm doing. It's actually moving forward towards something else, to where I can expand my current job to Austin. Actually,
whoa,
Austin, Texas. And I would love to actually make that my home location.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take some doing on my end.
Well, that'd be a great place to come visit for your dear brother here to come say hello and hang out. I think we'd have our USC gear on, I'm sure strolling around, and then get yelled at, of course, by those crazy Texas people. But no, I think, you mean, I'm going to be 40 in a year and a half, which is just crazy to think about. And it's just like, for a while I kind of waited around for some things to change and to just, I don't know, get better. And my dad always said, you know so many people, something's gonna break for you, something's good. But I think honestly, a lot of the chances you get in life, like you need to kind of build, not, you can't always create your own luck, but I think luck comes to those who are kind of pushing themselves and trying to. So the past few years, I've been trying out some different things, trying out some different mentalities, and just being more open about, hey, maybe I'll be somewhere I never thought I'd be, you know, in a couple of years. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at now. If I had looked back 10 years ago and been like, here's what you're going to be doing now, I wouldn't have guessed any of that, running a podcast, driving for FedEx. I mean, but life just finds a way to be just tricky enough where you're like, wow, I never would have thought I would have been in the, you know, doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah, I think that we kind of talked about this earlier, but I think where you need to be in the world, like it the thing that makes you most uncomfortable, like starting a family, getting married, doing whatever, the thing that makes you most uncomfortable is the most important step that you can make in your life, the most important next step.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny you mentioned that, because that was how I felt about everything I ever did. Going to college, like that was super uncomfortable for me. I was not built for it. I was scared and terrified. Going into umpire school, same exact thing. I was like, am I really doing this? Oh my goodness. Coming back from all that, jumping into college ball and working for the teams. And like, cause I didn't always have the confidence in myself that maybe others had. And you're right. Doing uncomfortable things, I think, if nothing else, it builds your character a little bit. But a lot of times you can't always prepare for them. You just got to do them. Like some of the things you just mentioned, you talk about it forever. You can be like, okay, someday. But you also just need to, all right, just do it. Just go do it. And learn as you go sometimes, which isn't a bad thing. Learning as you go. It's part of life.
Every single job I've ever taken, like I've been scared to death to take that I'm going to screw up. I have contrary to popular belief, I have zero confidence in myself. I every single step that I make, I think it's the wrong one. I think I look in the mirror every single morning. I don't like what I see. But you know what? I get up and I make myself into somebody that is looking at. I try, I do my job. I work out every day. I eat, I'm eating healthier, trying to cut
well,
out.
Well, we didn't eat healthy tonight, but yeah.
Yeah.
it was a special occasion.
I did have Mexican food tonight.
Oh,
that was the first junk food I've had in like 6 months.
Oh, man. Man, after cutting carbs for a minute, that was so good.
Oh, wasn't it the best? Oh, Lupe's.
Lupe's.
And Lupe's.
Good stuff. Big fan. Yeah, it's no rhyme or reason to it. It's why I like coming on the pod and just kind of venting, because some things you just need to, maybe someone needs to, you know, I only have like 12 listeners, but you sometimes you hear things at the weirdest times, and it's like, you just go for it. You just do it. Mm-hmm. That's with the podcast. I was like, I don't think I can do this. And just started doing it. Repetition. It got better. The sound quality got better. The guests got better. The hosts got better. And the music, all that stuff. You just, over time, you just start going for something. And I think that's been the lesson for me after looking back at, we'll say, the past 20 years. Got out of high school now, 20 years for me. And there's been things I did. There's been things I should have done. But ultimately, it's the things I was most scared of that ended up working out, where I was like, oh, I should have done that sooner. Or I should have. Yeah. What was I so afraid of? Like, what's the worst that could happen? You know, and it's just like, if you're struggling with that out there, people, you know, trying for that promotion or trying another job or asking whoever out or whatever, just like, I guess just do it. I mean, just go for it. Give it a shot, or try at least to get baby steps to that point. Progress, right? You can't maybe not get all the way there, but just a baby step or two. A little progress at a time adds up to a big deal.
Yeah. You know, every single job I've ever taken, like, I've been terrified to take it, because I don't know what I'm walking into. And I don't think that I'm going to do well.
Uncertain.
But it all goes back to same values, same message that was preached to us. I know I've said it before. Again, practice makes permanent.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you do something long enough, you care about something long enough, and put the work in, you're going to be fine. You can do anything. You don't, it doesn't matter. Like, I've been sitting back in corporate for years, like, just like, I can't do as good as him, because he, you know, he has a college degree. I don't have a college degree. And guess what? In today's corporate world, college degree does not mean anything at this point. It does not mean anything, because you know what? You can't teach work ethic.
Mm.
You actually have to have that ingrained in you from a young age, just like learning a sport, just like MMA, just like anything like that. It needs to be ingrained in you from your parents at a young age. And gratefully, the school we went to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we were so busy, and that we had so much positive influence from leaders and coaches and things, that the lasting impact really has been extraordinary. You go through things now and you're kind of like, oh, I've been here before. I know what to do, based off of situations that you had to do, whether it was a summer trip play or a football game or whatever. And so, I think, listen, you and I were talking about this, or maybe it was with Dad, but we were talking about, obviously just going for it. Just, dude, what do you have to lose? Like, making progress a little bit. But it's just, to your point, as far as being terrified, because I was terrified, I'm still terrified of a lot of things. And I've found, kind of rediscovered my faith a little bit more. That has helped. But at the same time, like, you just need to have the mentality of, like, looking at your past and things you've done. Like, take the worst case scenario of something you tried and failed at. And it's just like, all right, that's how bad it'll be. It won't be any worse. You know, hopefully it's much less than that. Taking risks. What was I saying the past few weeks, that challenges are kind of opportunities? Like, just because things are going bad, when people complain about all these bad things that are going on, it's just like, well, they're actually opportunities to grow a little bit as well. So, just taking that chance and not being afraid, I guess, is the ultimate push.
Yeah, man. And it's, you know, I only say this because it's something that I literally wake up with every day.
Mm.
I always joke with you about, I always have all this confidence. Hey, I can do anything I want. I can get any girl I want. I can do this and that. I joke with you. I have zero confidence whatsoever. That's a defense mechanism, man. And I've always been that way. But, you know, realistically, you work hard enough at anything, you can get there. And take a challenge every now and then. Take something like, you know, something different. Mm-hmm. I was looking up a little more, like some Muay Thai classes possibly, but and just to have a challenge, just to get like a little 7-day trial or something.
Why not? Yeah,
just do it. It's a challenge.
Yeah, I you know what? It's funny where you get kind of motivation from. You know, it could be anything, but I mean, I've struck. People have talked to me over this. Dude, just come on. You're fine. You'll be all right. Just go up. I was very unconfident about a lot of things, but I throw a baseball uniform umpire thing on and go out there, and I can umpire home plate in front of 10,000-12,000 people, no big deal.
Yeah.
But you want me to go talk to some girl? Like, are you out of your mind? Like, that's terrifying. I'm not going to go do that. But that was kind of the analogy I always used, but it was actually the truth. And someone told me recently, they were like, you know, I don't know why you have kind of this unconfidence about things, because there's absolutely nothing you should be not confident over. And it was just, I never heard it said that way. And when I heard it that way, I was like, wow. I mean, someone's kind of watching you or knows you enough to be like if like the same, I could say the same about you, like in all the areas of life, after knowing you as long as I do, there's nothing I could say, I could think of to be like, now you shouldn't be confident about that. Because in all areas of your life, in my opinion, living arrangement, your personal life, your relationships, your work ethic. I mean, there's really nothing you should be not confident about, because you handle business. You're a guy that is dependable and that people can count on.
Yeah, I have this coworker. He's early 60s, and we always bullshit all that. We're both smokers, so we both have a lot of time to go outside and have a smoke.
Perfect.
You know, like I told him a lot about what's going on. You know, I was just like, man, I just don't know if I can handle it. I mean, and he's like a retired manager. He's just trying. He took this position to coast, just to coast into retirement in the next 2 years. And he was just like, man, you don't have enough confidence in yourself. Like, you do what you do for this company is a lot and is better than the average employee. You need to realize what you do. And then I was just like, man, like, I still don't believe it, but you know, like it's interesting to hear other people, like they're almost strangers. They're coworkers, but they're strangers, just to hear someone else's opinion. And it's like, okay, I'm doing okay, but okay, now let's do better. Let's do better. You know, like it's always like, I want to do better.
Well, it's just like good enough isn't good enough. You know, I think obviously dad pushed us a lot in that area. Like, in anything, like, and it's true, like you can complete jobs or tasks that aren't quite as good as they should be, but you're like, that's good enough. Well, is it good enough? Like it's a valid question. And like, are you giving your max effort in your relationships, in your time at work, in your friendships? Like, it's really good to self-reflect. One of the great things I heard about, wasn't from BJ over the weekend, but one of the great things I heard Navy SEALs do is after their missions, every single time, they debrief and immediately, so they don't forget stuff. And they talk about what went well, what went wrong. And I think at the end of every day, if you do that, if you're not, you know, dead tired, which is a good thing too, I think that's good to kind of self-reflect. And maybe you write it down. Maybe you just think out loud or pray, whatever. But it's really important to self-reflect. Again, to your point, to keep yourself accountable, because if you just like, all right, finish this day, and then what? Was it a good day? Was it a bad day? Like, you just get through it. If you just get through it, to me, that's not good enough. You got to accomplish something every day.
Yeah. It has to be something extra you did every day. Like, I can't have the same day twice.
Oh,
it needs to be a little bit more. And I'm like, to writing stuff down, it's like, and I got a diary. I got a journal that I've written down in for the past 15 years. Just to write things, not to be like, hey, I did this today. I had a mocha frappuccino. I'm like, no, just to like write things that I felt were important, and to write things like about, hey, stop being a piece of crap to other people. Stop being a piece of crap to yourself. You need to push forward. It's really interesting to go back to hear from yourself 15 years ago, and like the mindset you could possibly have in a certain day. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty wild, man.
I'm doing something similar, kind of writing things down daily basis or semi-daily basis. And then I also rediscovered a bunch of letters and things I had from the past and kind of looking at myself. Some things you're like, yeah, that's me. And then other parts, you're like, oh, wow, that, wow, I did that or whatever.
Well, I hit that one out of left.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oops. Yeah. And we've all changed a little bit to a point as well. But no, you were mentioning some when we talked recently about, cause I'm a guy that gets really worked up over the big picture. Like I'm 38 and I should be further along in this area, this or that area. But you were a guy, I was talking about all the plans I have and things I want to do, and I'm very motivated. You're like, it's all about, it's not about doing everything that you set out to do right now. It's like all about today, like, or tomorrow, whatever it is for you. Mm-hmm. Conquer today, conquer today, win today. And then at the end of the day, it's like, all right, tomorrow's the next opportunity. It's cliche. But man, the whole day-to-day aspect, Rome wasn't built in a day. You can start building Rome in a day, mm-hmm. but it's just brick by brick, drop by drop fills the cup, as they say. And you just have to focus on one pitch at a time, one game at a time, one day at a time, all those things. And that hit me pretty hard last week when you were talking about that, just being like, hey, don't worry about all these things you got to do. You can't do them all in one day. It's just like one day, one breath. One inch at a time.
Yeah, you can only do what you can do within a day, but make sure that's better than the last. That's it.
So what do you do at the end of a day when things have not gone your way and some of the things you can't control? But when things have not, it hasn't been a good day, and maybe you've even failed a little bit. You've made some mistakes. What is your kind of thought at the end of the day? How do you get to sleep at night? Cause that's important. You can't kick yourself all night. You're going to lose sleep and then be worse off the next day. Maybe you do, but you shouldn't do that. So how do you, at the end of a day, when you say, we'll say you've had a loss, the day has been a loss. It hasn't been a victory. You're probably not many of them. How do you recover and get to the next day for the next opportunity for the next win?
I go to the beach at night.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do there?
You walk the beach. You think. That's all you can do. You need to have a moment where you can have a soothing sound next to you. That could be anything. That can be some soothing sounds, or like driving on gravel. I like that one too.
That's a good one. Nice, yeah. And slow.
Yeah, I like that sound. But like some sort of soothing sound, and you can actually be alone with your own thoughts, and you can break yourself down a little bit, and then you can build yourself right back up.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'll come back here. I'll write in that journal I told you about and say, like, hey, you need to shape up a little bit. Like, you did this wrong today. Do better tomorrow. It all comes back to that. Just do better tomorrow. You can take a loss sometimes, but just do better tomorrow. But I did like that in the Charge to Keep podcast.
How so?
About it, remembering a loss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was all – it was like he won two titles, had all these great things, and he's still, like, as a sophomore, that loss, like – you know, just bugs him. I'm just like, that means a lot.
Dude, I take that to the next level. I can remember when it comes down to, come on. When it comes down to like the good things I've done in life and like the things that are worth noting, I don't remember anything. I don't remember anything. But if you ask me about like the worst, most embarrassing parts of my life, I remember every single one of them.
I'm with you there. Oh, I got it. Those feel like it happened yesterday. Yeah.
There's this meme out there where it's just like, when it's just like, it shows a guy like looking off into the sky. It's just like, when you're remembering about that embarrassing thing you did 25 years ago, and then it just like has a little bubble that says, oh, I think I should kill myself tonight.
I know. How I feel. It's over. It happened. But at the same, like looking back, and it's just like, I do not want that feeling again. And so that's like my motivation every day to not get to that feeling ever again. But I mean, there's also times you get a laugh. So on the flip side, when you've had a really good day, when you've had a ton of victories, there's times, it's rare, but there's times when I'm like, I accomplished everything I set out to do today. And that's a really, really good feeling. How do you not get too big-headed in those moments? Like at the end of a really good day, is there anything you do different? Or are you kind of like, all right, now we need to be even better tomorrow?
I never celebrate birthday.
No celebration.
No, okay. Right. You did what you were supposed to do. Congratulations.
That's interesting. You know? No, that's a good point.
I may sit down and have a drink or two, but I do that most nights.
You know? You're not celebrating anything. It's just that you do what you. I always said when people are hilarious when they're like, oh man, when they talk about like, especially athletes, professional. Oh man, he's a really good father and husband. It's like, you don't get extra credit for things you're supposed to do. I don't understand where this came from in society, but it's like, yeah. Oh, you showed up to work on time. You don't get extra credit for that. That's what you're supposed to do.
So I
don't know where, I mean, we're all over the place with stuff.
But you didn't abandon your child. Congratulations.
Good job. Way to go. Let's put you to the front of the line. Yeah. It's really funny. Like we live in this, everyone gets a prize. Everyone gets a cookie. Life now, and it's just like you don't get special. I don't know where, how this started. It's just like we're so desperate for feedback, rewards, whatever. It's like you don't get special extra credit for doing the things you're supposed to do. And it's just like getting the podcast out. Even it's something as simple as that. When we get a podcast out, I'm like, oh man, I'm relieved. But it's like that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you committed to do. So make sure you do it on time. And yeah, so at the end of the day, I think that's a good point. It's not necessarily a celebration, almost a relief. I'm like, yeah, I got everything done I needed to do. Man, cool. All right, let's do it again tomorrow.
You ever listen to David Goggins?
I think I've heard him a time or two. Which one is he?
He's a retired, I believe, Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's just a runner.
Yeah.
He's a worker, you know? He just like, he talks about like, he's not for everybody. He is straight and to the point. Stop being a piece of S. Stop making excuses. Like it's just like, man, his motivational stuff is great. It's just like, congratulations, you did this again today. Do it again tomorrow. You know?
Do it again tomorrow.
Like that's that's how I see things, man.
Yeah. It's and now don't you think it can get boring though? Like you're like, hey, I did it. I'm doing it again tomorrow. Like I gotta accomplish it again tomorrow. Or is it if it's something fresh or something that you need to do routinely, it's easy to do, or you know what I'm saying?
I think I'm different than most people in that sense. I don't see how accomplishment can ever get boring.
True.
I don't see that. Like it's always something more you can do. You just add to it. Say it's you know, you're going for a run today on the beach, and then you come home and do a little workout, and then you walk around. You walk around the neighborhood just to get some extra steps in, just to make sure your body's all healthy. You take the right vitamins. You clean the house. You pull some weeds. You do the laundry. You do all those things, and it's just like, how do you feel bad?
Yeah,
you know,
I enjoy it when things are done. Like the sense of accomplishment to me is done. It's over with. That's why, like when I go shopping, or like. It could be grocery shopping is a big one. It's just like, all right, let's go get the things we need. Let's go get them. And clothes shopping is a nightmare. It's like if I shop for or shopping for, it could be an apartment, a car. Like I am generally like, yep, I want that one. Let's get that one. Like I'm not as patient in that regard as I should be. But I just like the sense of if it's done, to me, it's an accomplishment. And to your point, which you mentioned a little bit ago, can it be an accomplishment? Can it feel a sense of accomplishment when it's supposed to be something that you're supposed to do anyway? That's 22.
Not necessarily. So there are things that you're supposed to do, like be a father, be a brother, be a son, be a husband or wife. There are things you're supposed to do. I don't think necessarily working out and bettering yourself every day in a physical standpoint is... from a physical aspect, sorry, is necessarily something you're supposed to do.
Hmm.
There are other things you're supposed to do, like be a good father, be a good husband, but not actually working out, going on a walk, like actually doing things like that. I don't think that's something you're supposed to do. I think it's something to make you feel better about yourself. It's interesting you worded it that way. Because now everything is just what I'm supposed to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, everything you do, you're supposed to do it. And so, you know, I think that we all have different callings where we got our job or things we're supposed to do, but you want to be excellent at everything you're doing. And then maybe there's other things in your life where you're a giving person or you donate time to this or, you know, you're working with someone that is less fortunate or maybe isn't all there. Well, you know, whatever you're doing, that there should be something that's fulfilling, sense of fulfillment. If you don't have that, that's a big thing, Sam. I think that so many people are going through now. Not really that we know, but like across America, people are looking for this fulfillment because they're not going to church anymore. They're not raising families. They're not even working anymore. You know, they're not going to jobs. And so people are like, have this crave for a sense of fulfillment and they're not finding it. And I think that's where we're seeing a lot of mental illness issues and all kinds of issues across the country is if you don't live a fulfilling life, then life will swallow you up whole.
Yeah, I agree. That's a very good way to put it. It's I'd say judging by the candidates that I receive, everyone's just lazy.
Mm.
Everyone has just become lazy. The pandemic made them lazy, especially that unemployment crap that they got for the longest time. Everyone feels entitled to be to work from home. I never did that. I did a few days out of the week. But that was different. That wasn't what it is now. I don't know, man. I think that everyone has their own little set of their set of agenda. And it's, sorry, I'm fumbling my words here. I'm trying to think of the right thing to say. I think that the new generation of workers, especially post-pandemic, and that can be old, young, whatever, like everyone expects things to be like how it was during the pandemic. They want the ability to work from home. They actually had to make this everyone's adopting these hybrid work weeks. No, that doesn't apply to me.
It's not sustainable, man.
No, it's not. It's not. You just,
and there is something to be said about it. It's a sense to get up and go into work. Now, people that work from home, hey, if you can do it, like, or you did it before the lockdown and everything, fine. But like, there's plenty of jobs out there where you do that. But I think overall, it's good. It's good. It's healthy for us to get up, get dressed, wear something to work that you wouldn't wear in your normal life, and go to work into a building or site or whatever. See people you wouldn't see unless it was work, really, and have that work relationship. You don't gotta love all your coworkers. I'm fortunate that I get a uniform to wear every day, so. I don't have to think about what I'm wearing, but I think even something as simple as that, what you wear to work, I think matters. There needs to be a switch that I was big in that and umpiring. Like I tried in between innings, I tried not to enter the dirt circle until it was time for the next pit. I was all about switches and like, like, all right, I'm not wearing this or touching this or doing this until this, every action I had meant something. It was a changing of the guard, if you will. And so I think with work, going to work. I mean, we're not even talking about work ethic yet. We're talking about just getting there. Just go to work. Get out of bed. Go to work. Put something on that represents you a little bit, and that's just the beginning. That's just getting there. Then you got 7 hours and 59 more minutes.
Pre-pandemic, I was wearing a tie to work.
Okay.
I was wearing button-up tie, slacks, dress shoes, and then we had casual Fridays, which means you just didn't need to wear a tie.
I like it.
But you had to wear slacks. Same thing. Everything. Pandemic hits. They lower the dress code.
For safety. For health.
I guess.
COVID.
I honestly don't know why. The more clothes you wear,
science.
Yeah. I feel like, but I was just like, yeah. Like I walked in that first day. We didn't need to wear a tie. And I looked at my coworker. And it was literally that quote at the beginning of Predator when Arnold Schwarzenegger walks up to Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
He's like, what is this fucking tie business? Working for the CIA.
That's right.
Take that shit off.
That's right. Oh, my God. No, it's true. And there's certain things with, like, jobs that, like, that four walls, the idea of four walls terrifies me. I'm so fortunate to be in a truck. I never have to think about what I'm wearing. It's just like, all right, here's your uniform. It's pretty simple and, like, get to move around. But, like,
it's still four walls and a door.
Yeah, but I'm in and out of it all day. I'm going different places. I'm not stationary. I love that. Yeah, I get to lift boxes in the heat sometimes. Who cares? Like, that beats air conditioning with a tie on, sitting at a desk typing. Well,
those UPS drivers are going to be getting air conditioning pretty soon. So.
Yeah, very much so. Breaking news. Stay tuned. FedEx, we'll be out there. We'll be out working for you, people. But no, I got plenty of friends at UPS that I'm definitely. They're in my thoughts and prayers. But yeah, dude, it's just like, I think there has been a lack of work ethic and just I don't know how people do it. Like, California is expensive. How do you not work is my thing. Like, how do you just, yeah, I'm just going to play video games all day. How do you pay for things? Like, how do you pay for food? How do you pay for video games?
You see that article the other day that came out last week that was your low income in Orange County if you make less than $80,000 a year.
Less than 80?
Considered low income.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that is.
That's like most. I was like, well, maybe I can qualify for yeah,
80,000. I mean, that's definitely a nice goal to get to. But and I just feel like my FedEx stuff is pretty set, and I try to really supplement income with Uber and Lyft, and really trying to push my income up as much as I can. But more money you earn with Uber and Lyft, the more money you spend, and also in gas and things. And so it's a catch 22, and you're just trying to get ahead here in California is very, very difficult. The thought of buying a house here someday, or an apartment, anything, just seems impossible. I don't know how many of our generation are going to be able to do that. Unless you're making over $80,000, apparently.
Well, I mean, you got to become an influencer. You need a million views on the podcast to get paid $4,000 or what?
Something like that. We need, we're seeking advertisements and all kinds of good things here on the podcast.
AG1. I started taking that. That was pretty good.
Was it? Was it pretty good?
Those super greens are pretty good.
That was the Joe Rogan thing?
Yeah. I started taking that one. I took Alpha Brain for a little while. It works. It's just too expensive. Same thing as AG1. Too expensive.
Oh, I love this.
Can't afford $150 a month.
I got to save this photo. Little Round Top. That's right. We can't forget the Battle of Gettysburg on July 3rd. July 3rd, 1863, into obviously July 4th as well. But
can we pause this?
Sure.
I need to piss.
You could have waited to say that until afterwards. I think we need a refill too. Well, you got a refill. You're sitting like an Asian, Indian style. I don't know what's the proper term these days. How you say?
That's racist.
I'm very, very racist.
I'm a few months away from that. What is it? Asian squat.
Oh, really?
Where I can squat flat footed, man. I mean, I've been doing a lot of stretching, man. It feels
wow. Pliability and flexibility. It's very, very, very festive. What? So, what's on your mind? What have you? I mean, we talk pretty regularly, but I don't know what's on your mind. Anything in particular? Just
and asking me that, like everything I think about is I can't remember.
I have all the memory. I remember every detail of everything that's ever happened.
Yeah, I think about something one day. I'm like, man, that'd be great to talk about one day. And then like 3 hours passes and it's gone.
You said you're writing things down. Write it down.
I do write it down, but that's personal stuff in there.
Well, write down the non-personal stuff that's just easy to go.
I'm a girl that way.
Oh,
is that okay to say?
You're a girl a lot of ways. I don't know. Well, let's see what it is. Oh, it's July. You're right. what have we been?
That month is over.
How about anything you've been watching lately or anything, any suggestions you have other than the Joe Rogan stuff?
I watched Tulsa King.
I got to get on that.
Pretty good. Tulsa King, I mean, take it with a grain of salt, but it's pretty good.
Sylvester.
Very interesting. Very
mob boss. Yeah. It's basically goes to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
From New York.
Yeah, so like basically he does his prison time and he gets out and he expects the mob to take care of him and they just kind of like try to pawn him off in Tulsa. They're like, well, we want to start this new venture.
Oh, wow.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That's actually genius. Genius.
Yeah, so he's like, what? So he's like, all right. Fine. I'm going to make the most money out of this place than you guys can possibly imagine.
That is great. Yeah. I started watching that A Man Called Otto, but Tom Hanks on Netflix.
Oh, God.
It's so good. I mean, 20 minutes in. I know that's kind of how I watch movies now. It's like, all right, I'll watch 20 minutes. Because I used to be a lot more productive. Well, a lot less productive, I'll say. I'm go mode. I was like, okay, I got 20 minutes to sit down and watch something now.
Yeah.
That's why sitcoms are great. But I can't remember the last time I watched a full movie, like start to finish.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else I watched.
Man Called Otto. You guys should check that out.
Man Called Otto. Yeah.
Older grumpy man. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I did. I watched the preview to that, or the whatever they call it, the little snippet that they showed.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
you watch it, yeah, it's pretty great actually.
It's like, oh, sounds all too familiar. That's yeah. all we'll say about that. I don't think what else is going on. Yeah, this is kind of a dry time of year. There's MLB, but it's like the dog days of summer. Like the All-Star game's coming. Like we're just sitting around here waiting for like preseason football to happen in a month or so, however long that is. But even that isn't much. That's like,
yeah. I will say, dude, I noticed something, and it's not really maybe even worth mentioning, but the quality of service in person. Having actual like supplies in stores. I got these mounting brackets for my truck back in 2018, I think. And, you know, I went to AutoZone. They had them right there. Walk in, grab them, take them home. Done in 20 minutes. Now, if you walk into any AutoZone, they have since broken. So like they lasted 5 years, $35, 5 years. That's fine.
I know.
But I walk into an AutoZone, an O'Reilly's, a Walmart, a Home Depot, a Lowe's, and everybody looks at you like you're crazy. They're like, we don't even know what that is. I'm like, well, your online store says you sell them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, well, you got to buy online. I don't want to wait 1 or 2 days to get these. I want them now. I want to buy them now, and I want to give you business, your actual store business, not just the company overall.
Yeah.
But it's been pissing me off lately, and I've been noticing, like, you have to buy online.
There are some massive changes going on. Yeah, I agree. I think it stems from a lot of things. Obviously, you don't encourage people to work. That's one thing. If you raise the minimum wage, also employers are going to be like, oh, we're going to find ways to circumvent this then and not have to pay people. You know, there's for every action, there's reaction. And so I think when people weren't working, there's people in store. I mean, I say God bless the people that are working because it's like, all right, at least they're trying. But there's people probably being hired that aren't qualified for positions. That happens a lot, I guess. And yeah, I think we are going pretty soon. Brick and mortar stores, those are going to be a thing of the past. I think we'll see it in our lifetime. We won't be able to do any of that. You'll have to do everything online.
We remember the Ace Hardware off of Arrow?
Yeah.
It's gone.
The Arrow.
Arrow. The little
Oh, the Charter Oak one.
Yeah, the Mom and Pops one.
Oh, yeah.
It's gone now.
Oh, man. Gone.
Everyone's ordering online.
What's there now? Well, yeah, dude, there's no way to keep up with all that. I mean, I think we get so caught up in convenience. I know I do. Like, well, I want to go all the way down to the store to grab one thing, or it's just like you hit a button. Oh yeah, I just remember something else. Let me hit another button. And you just end up doing that and it becomes a way of life. Whether it's good or bad, it's just convenience sometimes. I don't feel that way.
Ugh. I don't feel that way about that, man. Like it's, yeah, sometimes it's cheaper, makes sense to buy it. But when I want something, I want it now. It was much like when like Netflix started.
Yes.
And they were doing the DVDs.
Oh.
It was just like, hey, you can order this DVD. It'll be here by Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like, well, I want to watch a movie tonight.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't understand that. And then they went streaming. It made sense. But, you know, I want my service to be now. And I want to actually talk to somebody. I guess I'm old school that way. I want to actually have I want to go to a small town place. Like I still go back to Ace Hardware, Mission Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
Where I used to work. And I go talk to Jeff. He was my supervisor.
Of course, you know their names.
He was my supervisor 15 years ago. and dude, man, I got a relationship with those guys.
You like talking to people. I will talk to people, but I don't need it. I'm just like, let me get what I need to get out of here. I'm not looking for relationships, but hey, it's important to be polite. Yeah. I mean, what's the word we always, it's an experience. It's an experience when you go to these stores. And yeah. I want to get in and out as quick as possible. I just, whatever job is going on, I just want it done. Like I just, as soon as it's over, it's like, yes, thank goodness. Fixing things. Oh, you're much more patient than I am at that stuff. Much more. I'm just like, I just want this fixed, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, let's do it.
You want to learn and experience it all.
I want to learn so I can do it the next time.
Yeah.
But then again, that's not going to do me any good because I'm going to learn how to do it and then I'm going to have to wait 3 days.
Exactly.
Because nobody has it.
Ugh.
But
this is, do you have, we'll record and send it. I want to ask you the rest of your week schedule, but do you have to go back on Monday? You got to go on Monday?
I have a 6-hour day on Monday.
Oh, that's nice.
We get an early release.
Early release. That's great. That's how it should always be, the day before a holiday. Oh. It's just weird with the fourth being on a Tuesday. Yeah, so you're going in tomorrow, and then we start early tomorrow, too. It's going to be a long day. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you get off for one day, but then all right, you got to come back. It's like, come on. Make it a 3 or 4. Make it a 4-day weekend. That would be great. The only time I would say it's completely acceptable is be like when it rolls into like a Wednesday. It's like, okay, you can't really. But if it's a Thursday or a Tuesday, come on. Give everyone that Monday or Friday off too. I know I'm talking to the big overlords that are going to lose all this money, but come on. You can't tell me your employees won't love you if you were able to give them those 4 days.
Well, my employees have it off. I don't.
Oh.
I'm taking one for the team.
Wow. How so? You're just going in voluntarily?
No, I'm going in and doing their job.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like California government. They're just like, yeah, rules for me and not for you, not for thee. Or the rules for thee, not for me.
No, I gave it to them.
Oh, your employees. You're a good guy. You're actually, what's it like dealing as far as, I wouldn't call you, are you manager? Like, what is it like working in management and overseeing people? Do you get any kind of power trips or are you pretty much a swell guy?
No, it's a pain in the ass. Because anybody who knows management in corporate knows that we have zero power, especially in California.
Yeah.
And so it can always be the employee. The employee can claim a lot against you. You can claim nothing against them. Even if they screw up, it's like a whole process. So I won't go into detail, but I've had to deal with it in the recent past.
Do you get a lot of sick calls on Mondays and Fridays?
Yep. No, I'm not going to do about it. If they have sick time, they have sick time.
Sick days are for you. You use them how you want.
You can't dock them for it. That's the rule. It was like, okay, well, they called in sick. They keep calling in sick. But if they have the time, you can't dock them.
That's what they're for. The time is your time, personal time or whatever. Yeah.
So I had an interesting conversation again with I talk a lot with the guy who's in his 60s and, you know, like
going. Well, we like older people.
Coasting to retirement. It's just like.
We like the wisdom.
It's just like the old school work ethic isn't there anymore. Like, it's just like, I want to be there because I want to be a good employee. Like I'm, if they try to screw me over, yes, I'll be the first one to be like, all right, F you guys.
Yeah.
But I'm really trying not to swear, guys.
You've done okay.
But the old school work ethic of actually like taking pride in your job isn't there anymore. It's just like, oh, this is a place I need to go.
Well, one of the worst things that I feel you could call me is not dependable. And like, whether it be showing up on time or getting the job done, because that to me is something like we were raised on, like, you want to be a dependable person, someone you can count on. Like we've always said in umpiring, if your name comes up, it shouldn't be this indifferent thing. You're going to have one of two things. Oh man, I got to work with Sam. Or when you see, oh, I'm working with Sam, there's just a big smile on your face. Like, you're a dependable guy. You're going to have a good time. And so if someone were to be like, I can't count on you, or you're letting us down type of thing, like, I would feel awful. But unfortunately, I don't think there's that. That's not very common anymore. It's just like, oh, you're yelling at me for what? Because I didn't do my job? Well, I had a rough day or whatever. It's like, dude, there's no dependability. Dependability and accountability to me go hand in hand.
That's a pretty good way to put it. Yeah, it's like a personal life has become more important, and everything is a everything is an emergency now. Like it used to be like I felt bad like when I took 2 weeks off when mom died. That's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
I was just like, I was coming to terms with everything. Now everyone's just like, oh, my dog died, or my bunny died.
I didn't like how Game of Thrones ended on Sunday. Yeah, whatever. Exactly. Like, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? You're not coming in. Why? But again, if you got the time, it's up to you. But we live in this incredibly
pussy society.
It's a super sensitive, soft society now where anything that goes wrong, it's like, and, no. Yeah, but, okay, you said it well. Well then.
I lost my third cousin.
Leave it to you. I met one time.
That was like, what was that movie, You, Me, and Dupree, Owen Wilson, where he's going to job interviews? And he's like a total loser, like doesn't want to work. And he's just like, so what is your guys' policy on like Columbus Day? And they're like, well, we work on Columbus Day. Ah, well, we tried. It's like, that was so like, so foreshadowed so much of today's world. Although everyone, of course, thinks that.
Yeah, some of the things I hear in interviews is like really interesting.
Do people, is this so much? Dude, so you conduct interviews, hiring process and everything. Oh, yeah. So do people, just simple thing, what they say, I want to hear that. But also like what they wear. I've seen people show up to job. I pick up people in Uber or Lyft on the way to job interviews. I'm like, you're going to a job interview right now? Are you serious? What are some things you're seeing?
When it comes to actual clothes, yeah. There are a lot of people that they get on the interview. I usually do them through Zoom because, you know, it was pandemic and it's just easier for me. But yeah, I had this one individual show up. They were in a high school sweatshirt. And it was through Zoom, so I get it. Like, it's like,
come on,
you're in your own home, but like, at least try, you know?
Yeah.
Try. Put a polo on.
Wear shorts and sandals still. But yeah. Like, from here up, look good.
And this person was actually really, like, talkative, really right for the job. But I was just like, I'm the first line of defense when it comes to the interviews. So I need to move. So after my interview, we need to move on to another interview. And I can't, in good conscience, put you in front of somebody else if you're going to wear a sweatshirt like that.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, and then.
So the impression really matters.
Yeah. And then, as far as asking for things, I really can't talk about that part.
Sure.
But it's pretty bad.
Standard. Is it oversharing? Is it people who overshare things? You're like, I don't know why you told me that. Or is it just kind of like an incompetence of like, you don't know basic things?
It's an overshare, and it's also pretending like you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, so you,
what people do now is they Google your company and they pretend to know everything about it.
Oh, interesting. I would have never thought about that.
I'm like, oh yeah, I know all about this company. Yeah, you guys do this, you guys do that. And I'm like, yeah, did you just read the basic top
Wikipedia page or whatever?
This is what I found on this company.
So what is it you're
Thank
looking
you, Google.
So what is it you're that has stood out to you in a positive way then for people that, you know, we talked about how they mess things up, but when people really shine in an interview going into, it could be helpful for anyone, I'm sure. I think overdress for the job is good.
Dress to impress.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, oh, look at this guy. He takes it serious. What are some other things that people, because most job interviews I've been on, you don't know what you're getting into. And so you can't fake it, but you can't also just be a complete idiot either.
You dress to impress, and you just answer the questions about your prior experience in any other company.
Okay.
And it speaks for itself. If you were a good employee, it'll show. We have a basic set of questions that we need to ask. And I go off the book every once in a while because I like to go down the rabbit hole and actually like vet people. But
I could see that.
But yeah, just answer the questions. If you were a good employee before, you're a good employee now.
Interesting. No, it makes sense. I mean, you would think so, you know, that your resume, quote, maybe not the one on paper, but just your life resume should speak for itself and how you learn and adapt at all things life related. Good stuff. Well, anything else you want to discuss before we get out of here, before we let people off the hook of our bunker podcast here on the 4th of July episode, special edition of the Get Home Safe podcast?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. I'm on it this time, so
yeah,
you're gonna get a ton of views.
No, we rambled away a little bit, but I think when you and I get together, we get in that mode. We just start talking about future, what's working for us now, what, you know, reflect on even on some mistakes we've each made and you know, you and I bounce a lot of ideas off each other. And so we'll try to do this more often, maybe once every couple of months. And you know, so people can hear the Hirschman brothers pontificate and come up with crazy thoughts and ideas.
Life's a wild journey, man.
It is.
Glad to have you as my brother.
Oh, amen to that. Same. Likewise, we balance each other well, and then we have some similarities that we really, really enjoy, we'll say. And so I go to you as the younger brother. I go to you for a lot of advice, which is something that many people may not know. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been a ride the past 20 years for me out of high school. Stopped by mom's grave today, actually, and hard to believe that's going to be 15 years in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah.
You know, life goes on, and you can't dwell on all the negative stuff. You have to just keep going. If you shrivel up and, my life's hard, then you're not going to do anything. So keep on trucking on, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts as always. You're very opinionated, as your shirt says.
I'm just trying to help people. That's all I'm trying to do.
That is you. That sums you up, Mr. Helpful. Absolutely. Hey, guys, thanks for tuning in to the 4th of July episode here. I hope everyone has a wonderful 4th of July, a fantastic Independence Day. Please remember what the holiday is truly about and to be grateful for the United States of America. No matter the tough times we're in currently, it will get better, and America has done a great deal of good over the course of its history. So happy Independence Day, everybody. Sam? Closing remarks on Independence Day?
America.
America. That's it. Talk to you soon, guys. We will be back next week. Not we, but me. I will be back soon. But have a great holiday, everybody. And let's just say, God bless America. Huh? Sounds good. See you guys.
Peace. March in line, march in line.